Okay, today is Daf Tesvav. We are on Daf Tesvav, four lines from the top, I believe, from Gufa. Today's shiur and the whole week is sponsored by Sherry and Beryl Daskal, Lezecha Nishmas David Tzvi Ben Dov Mordechai. Shama should have an Aliyah. Okay, Gufa. We're going back to the words of Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shmona Asar Gazru, Uvishmona Asar Nechlekil. So there was 18 zeros that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel made on that day. And there were 18, Ubishmonasar, in these 18, they had a machlokas beforehand. And since, you know, they were, again, we're in the attic because he's trying to figure out how to get Sefer Yecheskel into the canon. And now they all come to visit him. And they had more Beis Shammai people than Beis Hillel people. So they had his machlokas, and Beis Shammai won. Beis Shammai won there, so he had these 18, figure out what these 18 are. Vahatanya, but we have another price that says Hushvu, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not argue, that they agreed on everything. So how can Shmuel say that they argued when they didn't argue? The Gemara says Vobayom Nechaku, the day that they had the Gezerah, they were kolik. They still argued with Beis Shammai. Ulamachar Hishu, but the next day, after, I guess, I'm not sure what the reason was, but the next day Beis Hillel ended up agreeing to Beis Shammai. They didn't sustain their dispute. They ended up agreeing to Beis Shammai.
Beis
Hillel Shammai. Beis. It's Beis Hillel Shammai. There happens to be another girsa that doesn't have this whole idea of, that doesn't have the girsa of Atanya Hushvu, Vobayom Nechlu Machar Hushvu. They just have the girsa of Shmonasar Dabar Gazru, Shmonasar Nechaku, and Shmonasar Hushvu. So that point of that gear, so there are 18 things where there was a Gezerah, 18 things were Machlokas, and 18 things they were agreed upon. There was a whole bunch of things that were discussed. The 18 were Gezerah, 18 they agreed, this is disagreed. Well, the Rishon, I don't want to go through the list. You want to go on the list, you go to the day before, he has a list of those 18 are. Okay. Gufa, Amar Rav Huna, Vishlosha Mekomos Nechlu Shammai VeHillel. Now we're actually talking about Shammai and Hillel. They were cholik in only three places. It was there machloka Shammai VeHillel. Okay, so the first one is going to be the Inyan Chala. So it's a mitzvah the same in the Torah to be mapresh truma min ha'isa, which and give it to the Kohen, which is called Chala, right? The pasuk says Reishi Sariso Sechem Chala Tarim Truma Yitrumas Goren Kintim Oso. The machlokas Tanaim is how large of the dough is the requirement in order to be chayav in hafrashas Chala. So Beishamai Omer Beishamai says Mikav, if the dough is the size of a kav, right? A kav happens to be 4 lug. A lug is 6 beitzim. Remember, 8 beitzim. Kav is, the 1 eifa equals 3 saw. 1 saw equals 6 kav. So a kav is 6 saw, whatever these measurements are. I'm sure the article translates it into, you know, fluid ounces or whatever that is. Shammai says it's 1 kav. Hillel Omer, Hillel says, no, it's kabayim. But the dough has to be the size of 2 kavim. Then you're chayiv in hafrashas chala. Neither of them are correct. Ella kav umechza chayiv v'chala. What's chayiv and chala is a kav and a half. That's what's chayiv. So probably six lugin is what's chayiv. Fine. Said mishahigdilu eshamidos, when the measurements increased. I guess there was some sort. So six basically became five. There was some sort of depreciation in value. The measurements increased. Amru, they said, the Chacham said, Chameshes Revi'im. What you needed, Kemach, Chayav Nchala. What you needed is five Lugin. You need five Lugin to be Chayav in Chala. That's what you needed. And Rav Yossi Omer, no, Chamisha exactly would be Pater, but Chamisha Va'od, you need a little bit more than five Lugin of the, in the Isa in order to be Chayav in Chala. Now that's Machlokas number one. Machlokas number two is regarding a mikvah. The Mishnah Mikvah says that the minimum shear of a kosher mikvah to retire a person or kalim that is 40 saw of mayim that is not shuvim, non-drawn water, rain water, you know, collected in its spot. Let's say you have a mikvah that doesn't have 40 saw, and then you added to it, before it hit 40 saw, you added to it mayim shuvim, so the mikvah becomes pasul. So how much non-mayim shuvim added to the mikvah before it reaches 40 saw passes the mikvah. Once you reach 40 saw, then you start pouring in non-mayim shuvim, you have the concept of hashaka, and the mikvah is still kosher. That's what we have posted in all our mikvahs. It's supposed to be mayim she'en shuvim. And then if you add Mayim She'uvin to it after it reaches 40 Sa, then you're kosher. The question is here, how much Mayim She'uvin falls into a mikvah before the mikvah has 40 of non-Mayim She'ein on Shuvim, the pasal. So the Idach, Hillel Omer Melohin, it has to be the Melohin Mayim She'uvin, whatever measurement that is, I think, 12 luk, Rashi says, which is 3 kabin. So that is, if Melohin of Mayim She'uvin falls into a mikvah that has less than 40 Sa of kosher water, postlinus a mikvah. The mikvah is puzzle no matter what, even if afterwards you start adding in a large amount of kosher water. Now, why does he say the words melohin? Shechayev adam lomar b'loshon rabo. We'll get back to that in a minute. He has to say the halacha and the words that he heard from his rabbi. Chayev adam lomar b'loshon rabo. Let's just read it here, Rashi. Rashi says, Shechayev adam klomar hin eno lashon mishnah el lashon Torah. Usually, in Mishnaic, in Tanaitic Hebrew, you wouldn't use the word hin. That's only biblical Hebrew. You would use a different lashon, right? The lashon is probably, I don't know, you probably use the word shlosha kavin instead of hin. Why using the lashon hin? So he says, elakach sham and pi shmaya v'avtalion. Hillel's rebbe's were shmaya v'avtalion, and they said lashon hin. And he then, but the Rashi continues, Ravosam yafarshin b'lashon Moshe Rabbeinu. He said the lashon of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is lashon of Torah, the levim megamgim. Rashi doesn't like that. Shari yukam akom aslo hik pilakach. In many places where they didn't have a hakpada on saying it the Lashon HaTorah, but here he has the Lashon HaTorah because that's the Lashon that Shmaya the Avtalion said. There's an interesting Gra. The Gra in Avius says that the issue over here is not that he said, not that they said the word hin, but he says the words melohin. So why is he saying melohin? It's a hin, it's the measurement. What does melo come to begin? So he says the reason being is that Shmaya the Avtalion were Gerim, and they couldn't say the hey. They didn't say hin. The only language I can think of that they don't say hey is like French. They don't pronounce the hey, the H sound. It's A. It's not with a H. So he says that if you would have said it without the hey sound, it would sound like in, right? So it would say in Mayim She'uvin. No Mayim She'uvin. So he says they have to add the word Melo so that they know that it's Melohin and not to use the exact Lashon of the Torah and not a different Lashon.
They were all from that region. I'm sure they all spoke like that. Where did they come from? They come from America? Where did they come from?
Who knows? Whatever language that they brought up, different dialects. But it's the same thing. A lot of people can't say the chah nowadays. We all live in New York.
What?
We all live in New York. Some people say chah, some people can't. A lot of people can't say chah. Right. I don't know. Can every New Yorker? So then they can. The Gross saying that they couldn't. I don't know. You're saying that they can. The Gross said they couldn't. I go with the Gross. So, an interesting shot. Okay, so Hillel said Melohin is which is Shlosha Kabin is what passels a mikvah. Shammai Omer Tisha Kabin. He says no, not three is too machmir. It's Tisha Kabin of Mayim She'uvin that falls into a mikvah that has not reached the level of kosher water that passels a mikvah. That is 36 lugin. Chachamim Omerim no, they said no lo kedivrei zeh velo kedivrei zeh, but they didn't know what the right shear was. Ad shebo'u shnei gardiim. Mishar Ashmer Shirushalayim, until these two weavers who are located at the Dung Gate in Yerushalayim, Ve'idu Mishum Shmaya Vatalion, and they testified in the name of Shmaya Vatalion that it's Sheshlosha Lugin. It's 3 Lugin of Mayim She'uvim that falls into it, that passes the mikvah, the Kimachamim is Devrayim, and the Chachamim Paskin like these, like these weavers. And it came in they said again that it's Shlosha Lugin. Which is, I guess, a much larger amount. How much is Shlosha Lugin?
It's less than a hin, though.
No, a hin is 3 kabin. They say over here, Shlosha Lugin. Right? A lug is bigger than a kav. It's 4 kav into a lug. So if they say that it is 3 kabin, 3 lugin, so that's, I guess, that's 12 kabin. Right? Shammai said Tisha kabin, and here they're going with 12 kabin, I think.
One kav is 4
lugin. Okay. So Shammai said that you need Tisha Kavin. So how many lugin is that? That's 36 lugin. And they're saying here Shlosh lugin. They were 2 machmir. They were two mekil. So he brings it back. They bring it back to 3 lugin of Mayim She'uvin, and they pass and they paskin like these two weavers. Okay.
Do we hold that any Mayim She'uvin before it reaches the shear is possible?
Apparently, I don't know. This is saying that no.
This
is saying that no. That's not the case. Listen, you can't if you have any Mayim She'uvin within the 40 Sa, yes. Well, the case in over here is that you didn't reach 40 sol yet. Mm-hmm. You added these mayim she'uvin, and then you increased the mayim the kosher water on top of it. So how much of that water does it possible to mikvah or, you know, get rid of it? So you can't even add on kosher water. The case that you're talking about is I have exactly 40 sol. If I have exactly 40 sol and I have one minute ounce of mayim she'uvin, it's possible. But here, what they did is they, after the mayim she'uvin fell in, they added more kosher water into the mikvah. So the question is going back. Listen, we had mayim she'uvin come. How much mayim she'uvin that falls in before we reach 40 saw just says forget about it. The mikvah is no good. You got to start over again. That's machlokas number two.
Okay. The Gemara makes a whole big production.
He didn't have this mezorah.
What do you mean?
These two
set over
the weavers. They accepted the weaver's shot.
Who was Shammai's Rebbe? What is that? I don't know.
Shmai Battalion.
What?
Shmai Battalion.
What's going on here?
What do you mean? These two weavers? That was a different. That was a different halacha he was talking about before. Right.
Hillel said this.
Right.
These two commoners.
They heard something else.
What?
They heard Shir a different day. They heard something else. And the Chachamim accepted what they said.
No, but Nachum's question is valid. Who, Shammai, and these two guys all were from Shir.
Yeah, so it's big Musar.
They all have different answers. They all have three different answers.
Okay.
And what's the
answer? That bothers you? You hear that in the Gemara all the time. Trey, Tanai, Liba, whatever. It all happens all the time.
Those two are an aid, are Adam. There are two of them. Hillel's one. Shammai's one. Adam always wins.
They accepted them. It bothers you that they heard different shots from the Rebbe. The Gemara is replete with those things. By saying what he heard. He said over what he heard. They heard differently. Okay, that's machlokas number two. Machlokas number three is it's one of the first Mishnayos in Maseches Nida, which is Be'idach Shami Omer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaton. Again, the halacha is that a woman who has blood come from her makor, she is tamei. The question is, she sees blood now. How far back do we retroactively say anything that she touched was tamei? So she sees blood at 12 p.m. on Thursday. So Beis Shammai says, "Kol anashim dayin shaitan." That means anything that she touches now forward, dayin shaitan, enough for an hour, it becomes tamei. Hil omer mipkidul pkidah. No, we retroactively are matamei anything that she touched to her previous bedika, lipkida lipkida, but about few yamim harbe. So maybe she did. Today's Thursday at 12 o'clock, and she didn't check since Sunday. So anything that she touched from Sunday to Thursday, that is because those are, we view them as tamei. But chachamim armin chachamim say no, lo kedivrei zev, lo kedivrei zev. We don't pass like either of them. Ella me esla es memayis aydei mipkida lipkida, mipkida memayis al me esla es. Basically, we have a maximum of 24. We use, you have esla es means a 24-hour period. Bekida means for the previous bedika. So the Chachamim say you take the smaller amount up to the period hour, 20, up to 24 hours. Meaning, if 12 o'clock she had a ri'ah and she hasn't checked since Thursday, since Sunday, we only go back 24 hours. But if she has a ri'ah at 12 o'clock and she checked beforehand at 11:58, you only go back those 2 minutes. Each one.
Rachel's question should be stronger now. Almost every woman has this problem at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody knew what was going on,
had a paskin beforehand. That's the argument with every machlokos. So what did they do beforehand?
Right. Not like to change something.
These are the derabanans over here. This is a derabanan. This is a suffix. It's a suffix. Was a derabanan. So how are they paskining off of that? So you had different mesoras to come out, and he came down to a psak. So every machlokos is like that. You have that question to Rav Shas. Okay. The Gemara then asks, "Besu leka." These are the only three machlokos that Shammai had with Hillel. Voika, there are other ones. What's that? What about the guy who brings a carbon to the base of the Middash has to do smicha before he does the shrita? Machlokos Tanoim in the Mishnah and Chagigah is whether if someone brings this carbon on Yontif, can he be somich? Right, we're talking about Karbanos Chova because Karbanos Nedava are not brought on Yontif. So the question is a machlokas whether you're allowed to do smicha or not. Hillel Omer Lismoch. Hillel says if you bring the carbon on Yontop, you should do smicha on your carbon because there's no gzeri here about, because there's a problem is about being using Bali Chayim on Yontif. And Shammai Omer Shalom Yismoch. Shammai says that there's an Issa D'Rabbanon that you cannot lean on Bali Chayim on Yontif. So you see here's an extra another machlokus by Shimon Beis Hillel, more other than the three that we mentioned. So Gemara says, okay, there's a difference. The three that we mentioned, basically, those are only a machlokus from Shammai and Hillel. The three, this one of Smicha, it goes back generations. Actually, that's the original machlokus. And you have a list in Chagiga, it keeps going back the generations. Kikam Rapuna, Hecha, Deleka, Peluxa, the Rapsa, Bahadayu. When he says that there's three, he's talking about three where there wasn't a machlokus from the earlier Rishon Tanoim as well. The machlokus of Smicha, it was already a machlokus before Zman, because you had Yosef ben Yoezer, was already cholik with Yosef ben Yochanan, and then all the Nesim and the Batei Avos after that were cholik. So it goes back to the original Zugos, the Yosefs. We'll see them again. That the Yosef, they had that machlokas as well. So Gemara says, wait a second, Va'ika, I'll bring you another one. Va'ika harbotzer legas, Shamei omer huchshar, the hill omer lo huchshar. So what do you have here? Again, you have foodstuffs, food items that cannot be makabel tuma until they are. So they hooksha the kabatuma with one of the seven liquids, yachach adam, one of them is wine. So you brought these grapes into the pit or the vat in order to press them, to stamp on them. Actually, it was funny, they had outside Rockefeller Center yesterday, Ocean Spring, had an advertisement for cranberries. They were guys walking around in there, you see guys in suits putting on the overalls, crushing the cranberries. It was very interesting.
Without their shoes and
pack on? No, they gave them the whole getup. You put the boots on, they get the whole getup. So what? So what happens is now you put the grapes into the box already, and they squeeze against each other, and the liquid starts coming out. So some of the grapes are becoming are they hooks for the kabel tuma now from the liquid that's coming out from these grapes. So Shami Omer Hookshare. They're hookshar of kabel tuma because the small wine that came out from them. But the Hillel Omer low hookshar, they're not hookshar, because in order to be hookshar kabel tuma, we saw it the other day also, the water has to come to ruts on mylan. Right? We saw that when we put in the bowl on top of the wall and the rainwater is hitting it, it was depending why you wanted the water there. If it's to protect the bowl there, if it was to protect the wall, then it's hookshar, because if it's to clean it, then it's hookshar, because you wanted the water to come down here. Here, you don't want the wine to come out of the grapes. Because what this wine, this whatever the liquid's coming out now is going to be lost. It's holech liibud. So you see here another machlokes in Hillel and Shammai, beyond the three that were mentioned. So Gemara says, bar minah, get this one off the list. Bar minah dahi, except for this machlokes, the hasam kashasik lay Hillel and Shammai. It's not really a machlokes, basically. Hillel agreed to Shammai. Hillel said, they were discussing the base medrash, and Hillel said A, Shammai said B, and Hillel says, you know what, you're right. So it wasn't a machlokes. They just had different approaches to start with when they were learning with Chavrusa, and then he ended up agreeing with them. By the way, it's going back to the two weavers in that we listened to. If you look at Rashi, Shnei Geridim Mishara Ashpos, Masichas Idios Mifarish Lama Husker Shem Umnosam B'Shem Akoma. Why is it mentioned what their job was or where they came from? Lomar to teach you Shelo Yimna Adam Atzmi Beis Hamedrash. No matter what your job is, don't. Stay away from learning, because you always can get out of learning. She'ein lecha umnas pechusa migardi. There's no lower. I guess there's no less menial labor than the gardi. She'im amidim menelo koin godav lo melech. Like we say in Kedushin, the ein shar biyushalayim pachin shar ashvos. There's nothing more disgusting than the dung gate, the garbage gate, basically. And nevertheless, v'echriu be'edusim kol chacham Yisrael. Nevertheless, their edus was accepted. You should never have. Whatever your job is, and as long as you're still in the base medrash. You still a wonderful thing. Next, going back to the brisa that we mentioned on the Yudal Amaveis, which said Yosi ben Yoezer ish treda, the Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yushalayim, they did two things. Gazru tumal eretz amim, they made a gzera that all the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, because of are matame, because of a suffix, and maybe there's the kvarim over there, kivrei goyim, I guess, but even though kivrei goyim. I don't know what Kibri Goyim are Matama, I think. That's why the doctors use a Goyish cadaver. That's what not use a Jewish cadaver. Okay. And they also were goes there the al kli zechuchis, that glass utensils should also be mekabel tuma. So I just wanted to mention, I saw in the sages, so Rabbi Lau talks about Yossi and Yossi. They're the first of the Zugos. So basically the first of the Zugos are at what time? They're at the time at the beginning of the Hasmonean period. That's what? Right around Hanukkah. The period of Perez places us in the 2nd century BCE at the beginning of the Hasmonean period, which is right after they won, basically. So you're starting with the Chashmonaim. So the question he asks, he goes through, why did they make these takanas? What was the purpose of these takanas? says Yossi ben Yoezer of Tzoreda and Yossi ben Yochanan of Yishlayim decreed uncleanliness in the respect of the lands of the heathens and glassware. So what's the purpose? So he quotes Louis Ginsberg, has shed some light, interesting light on this decree. He says, the decree of impurity of the lands of the Goyim was passed at a time when the Jews were beginning to leave the land and going abroad in the wake of the edicts and destruction wreaked by the evil Antiochus. So people were leaving. So Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan says, don't leave, you go there, you become Tameh. So it was more of a practical consideration, more of a demographic issue to keep people in Eretz Yisrael. But the second edict of the first pair is extremely interesting. And if the first one was a political ruse, the second one was an economic one. He says the reason why they were timing the glassware is an economic reason. It's because the leading artisans in the glassware trade were the Canaanites living in Tyre and Sidon, which I believe is in modern-day Lebanon, which is a little up north. And all glassware in the land of Israel came from them. They were getting the glass from up there. They were importing them. But importing these vessels triggered tremendous competition between local products and those produced abroad. And many preferred to use the vessels that did not receive impurity rather than the clay and steel vessels produced in Israel. So basically you have the Kalim and Eretz Yisrael, which are ones that are Mekabel Tumah, and the Kalim coming from outside Eretz Yisrael, which are not Mekabel Tumah. So everyone says, I want to use those Kalim, and I don't have to worry about it. So what do you have? You have a big problem because the artisans in Eretz Yisrael are now losing the money. So what do the Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan come and do? They say that, you know what, those are also going to be Mekabel Tumah. And therefore, if you put impurity on the glassware, that kind of reduces the competition and allows the artisans in Eretz Yisrael to that's what Professor Louis Ginsberg, he quotes an article, The Role of Halacha in Jewish Studies. What? Basically. So that's what he says there. Well, I don't know, but it's an interesting approach. I don't know whether that's
all the things that they made, yeah. Always has to do with what was going on.
Right, stick of the times. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yossi ben Yoezer eats Tzoreidav, Yossi ben Yochanan eats Yishlayim, Gozer Tumal Eretz Amim, and Alkli's Chuchis. The Gemara says, wait a second, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Tzoreidav were the ones who made the Gzeira about Eretz Amim. Vaha Rabbanan de Shmonim Shana. The Takana was made by the Rabbanan who lived 80 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Amar Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana said, Kishachal Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, got sick, Shalchu lo, the Chachamim went to him, and they said, Rebbe, teach us, Emor lanu shnayim u'shlosha dvarim shamarta mishum avicha. Teach us two or three things that you heard from your father, Rabbi Yossi. So Shalch lehem, Rabbi Shmuel said to the Chachamim as follows, Kach amar Abba, this is what my father, Rabbi Yossi, said. Meyo u'shmonim shana atcha lo char rabbis, about 180 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Pashta malchus harisha al Yisrael. That was when the Roman era basically began. They started coming. The time is a little bit lost, but Aristobulus and Hyrcanus are around, you know, about 100 or so years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews essentially invited the Romans to come in to begin with to sort of deal with their dispute. So Pashto Malchus Harisha Al Yisrael, Shmonim Shana Achalochar Vabayas, 80 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Gazru Tumal Eretz Ha'amim V'Akli Zechuchas. That's when they made the Takana of the Eretz Ha'amim and the Kli Zechuchas. Arbaim Shana Achalochar Vabayas, 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Gosu La Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin left the makom of their place in the Lishkas HaGazis, the Yashmala b'Chanuyos, and they went to this place Chanuyos in Yerushalayim. Some places call it Chanus, some places call it Chanuyos. They left the Lishkas HaGazis off the Har Habayis. L'may Hirsa. So why did they leave the Lishkas HaGazis? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Lomar Shalo Danu Dine Knasos. The teachers that once they left the Lishkas HaGazis, they did no longer were able to judge Dine Knasos. Mar says, wait a second, Dine Knasos Lakadaitach. He says, no. Ela Ema Shalo Danu Dine Nefashos. They wanted to leave the Lishkas HaGazis so they can no longer judge capital cases. Again, it's not that they're saying that they don't believe in capital punishment. It's just that the purpose of capital punishment probably was no longer wasn't effective anymore. They said that Rabu was getting out of hand. So what's the purpose? The whole purpose of capital punishment is for a deterrent. If it's not a deterrent, they don't want to be involved. They don't want to be involved in that gzera, in that whole issue. So I guess someone says that the Talmud doesn't believe in capital punishment. That's not true. Does believe in capital punishment, but they do take into consideration other social considerations as to whether or not capital punishment is worthwhile at any time. Okay. Tosos has an interesting question. He says, "Shelo donon din nefashos." So the reason why they have where's the source? "Shelo donon din nefashos." It says, "Tema divikamta valisa el hamakom didarshina minei." The pasuk that we learn out that it can't be done in the fashos only in the Lishkas HaGazis is that it says v'kamta valisa el hamakom, right? So melamed shamakom gorim, right? The makom is gorim in the fashos. Tosha says lo ksiv el bazokin mamre. that pasuk is specific by a Zakin Mamre case. Not by all capital cases. Just by a Zakin Mamre case. And by Zakin Mamre, it's only talking about the Hamra Aso. That he has to rebel against them in that place. But aval lidono yochal afapish ain based agado belishkos agazis, but they can judge him, they can adjudicate the case even if they're not in the lishkos agazis. Just as his rebel. So what's how will you learn it? You can't judge dinin nefashos. That whole case is talking about the zaki mamre, and it's only if the zaki mamre does the act in the lishkos agazis. So that means so only if the murder took place on Har Habayis. Like what he says, what's going on? He says aval lidono yochal afapish ain based agado lishkos agazis. And Tosaf leads to the question. He goes, "Ein near lomer de ben inu shiyu b'makoma b'shasan veira koma b'zokin mamre." Oh, Tosaf doesn't answer. What's the lean with? So I heard in the name of Rav Yosef Engel, who says the problem is that zokin mamre is one of the capital offenses. Right? It's one of the capital offenses. So if you remove from the base of Middash, you no longer can have a case of zokin mamre. So now you lost one capital offense. So once you take out the ability of doing thing one of one capital offense, then all of them fall away. It's an all or nothing game when it comes to the Sanhedrin with judging capital offenses. Either you can judge capital offenses or you cannot judge capital offenses. It's not you can judge some and others. So once they move away, you can't judge the Zaki Mamre case, because the Zaki Mamre can no longer come to be Mamre in Lishkas HaGazis. All other capital offenses fall by the wayside. Okay. Basically, but the Gemara asks, the whole problem that we have over here is that you see that the gzera of the glass and the gzera of Eretz Amim was given not by Yosi ben Yoezer, it was made by the Chachamim who lived 80 years before the times of the destruction. So Rashi says, okay. So the Gemara says, v'chi tema b'shmonim shana nami inu havi. Maybe Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan lived at that time, 80 years before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. V'atanya, again, because we said before that Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan are the first of the Zugos, talking about the times of the Hasmonean period. V'atanya, Hillel v'shimon Gamliel. They were the ones who were the Nesiim during the times of Beis Hamikdash. Mei Ashana, 100 years before the destruction. The Ilu Yosi ben Yoezer, Yisraeli, Yosi ben Yochanan, Habekad Metuva, and they lived before. So the ones that we know before, they were 100 years. Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan lived even before that. They're clearly not 80 years before the times of Beis Hamikdash. So now we have a problem. Who made the Takana? So we're going to say the same thing we said yesterday. We're going to take the Takana in stages. Ella, what happened? Asu inhu. Originally, Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan gazer agusha lisrof. They made a takana about the land of Eretz Amim that if truma touches that land, you have to burn it. The avir below klum. But they didn't make a takana on the avir, meaning if you carry it in a box or something like that into Eretz Amim. There's no takana. There's no tuma there at all. But asu rabbanon deshmonim shana. But the rabbanim of shmonim shana. Gazer Arvira Litlos, that if you take the Truma, I guess, over the airspace of Eretz Amim, now we're Litlos. You're not going to burn it, but you can't do anything with it. You were knowing it as a Suffolk Tuma, Suffolk Tuma, which is you're not allowed to eat it, but you can't burn it. So the Gemara says, Lamemra Techad Gzerta Habilis Refa, that Srefa, that concept of burning the Truma took place via one Gzera. There was only one Gzera regarding burning, which was the initial Gzera. Bahama Ilfa, but Ilfa said otherwise. He said, we saw this yesterday, that Yadayim, when it came to the Stam Yadayim, Tchilas Gzeiros on the Sreifa, so Yadayim did Tchilas Gzeiros on the Sreifa, Hamid Echuni Lo. The idea was that it was only by hands was there one Takana regarding Sreifa. Initial Takana was hands, burn. But nothing else originally had that Takana of burning right away. So Gemara says, you're right, okay, we'll make another stage in the Gzeira. Ella, Asu Inhu, what happened was, came Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan, Gazer Agusha. So they made a takana about the dirt of Eretz Amim litlos, that it becomes a suffik tuma regarding truma that touches it. The avira lo klum, they made no takana about the airspace. The asur rabbanan nishmonim shana. Now the rabbanan of 80 years before the Beis Hamikdash, they gazer agusha lisrof. They said that came on the 80 years. 80 years before the Beis Hamikdash, they said that they added to the takana and said that if the truma touches the dirt of Eretz Amim, you burn it. But Avira Litlos, and Avira, you're still Litlos. So you go up one level in each stage of the Takana. So the Gemara asks, Makati, I'll still ask you, that's the following question, because it says, Be'usha. When was Usha? Usha was a bunch of years after the Chovra Mesa Midlash. And we're going to see that in Usha, they made the Takana regarding the land of Eretz Amim. Right? It says, Be'usha Gazor, right? They had six gezeres there. It's not. It's a Mishnah Taharos. Al shisha svekos, they made a takana, the six svekos. Sorfinessa truma. See, six straight, the six svekos. Here, are the, in Ushul, they made a takana, you burn the truma if something happens. What's number one? Al safik beis apras. Rashi says, safik beis apras is that klomar, al svekos shal beis apras. You go truma shenichna le beis apras, to soda shavavo kever. We're not sure. We lost the kever there. We're not sure if there's a kever there. Hainu safik. The lohid yadina im he'ilal kever im lav. We don't know whether the truma was mahil, made an oil over the kever or not. So we don't know whether it was became tame. Safik, burn it. But also, and here's the hours. The safik afar haba me eretz amim. Right? If dirt comes from eretz amim, we burn it. So the only, you see from here, that the kind of burning took place after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right? Val safik bigde ama aretz, or safik whether the ama aretz sat with them when his wife was a nida and he had tumas medrash, and therefore truma that touches these clothing is also suffered tumah when you burn it. Valsafek kalim hanim tzayim, right? These are kalim. We don't know whether the tumah or tar. Therefore, truma that touches them has a suffek tumah. Valsafek harukin the suffek of whether we're not sure whether the roke of the zav that's tumi deraisa or it's a roke of a person who's not a zav. Therefore, if it touches this suffek roke, we say it's tumah. And alsafek may ragle adam. Right, Beiragli Adam, we actually have two svikos. We have suffik number one, whether this the urine is from a person or the urine is from an animal. And even if it's from a person, well, is it from a zav or not? Nevertheless, they said, maybe it's from a person who is, well, basically, let's read it again. It's a suffik Meiraglayim, Shekinegi Meiragli Behema. So we don't know who it came from, and we don't know whether it came from a Tamei or Tara person. Nevertheless, we still say, if a Truma touches that, it's considered Tamei. I mean, if the Truma touches that, I don't know who's eating it anyway, but if the Truma touches it, we're going to say that it's Tamei.
Does the rove come into any of these?
No, I don't think so, because these are just takanas. The rove more plays along the lines of the suffix that arises. You think these are the suffix that are abundance? We're making these takanas. Just burn it. Get rid of it. So the question though here is, you know, as Mishnah continued, Mishnah explained, Alvadei Maga'an, when it comes, if you definitely, Truma definitely touched one of these, Shehu Safek Tumasan, Sorfenes HaTruma, you burn it. If you definitely touched one of these Sfekos, you burn the Truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Al Safek Maga'an Rishus HaYachid, he says, no, even if there's a Safek, whether or not they touched them in Rishus HaYachid, you're Sorif. The Chami Omer, no, Rishus HaYachid Tolin, Rishus HaRabim Tohorin. If there's a Safek, then we go according to the Doraisa rules. If Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid, we say, so if it's a suffix, whether or not they touched one of these items, the truma touched one of these items, in Rosh Hashayachid, you're tole, meaning we don't burn it, we just don't eat it. But in Rosh Hashayachid, we say it's tahor. But the Amar Ula, Elu Shleish Shishat Sveikos, but Usha Hiskinu. These six Sveikos were Hutkan, when the Hutkan was made in Usha, which is years after the destruction of the base of English. So how are you telling me that all these Takanas took place either by the Yossis, which was hundreds of years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or even 80 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They took place, the Kana was made after the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is that we learned the concept of tumah, of suffik tumah from a sota. The idea is that if there's a suffik of tumah in Rosh HaYachid, the halacha is, we say, it's tamen. A suffik tumah in Rosh HaRabim, the halacha is, Xeris HaKasif, we say it is tahar. So the same idea. Now we're talking about a tumah derabanan. So if you have a suffik as to whether we're touched in Rosh HaYachid, so are we going to deal with it l'chumra? We're going to deal with it l'kula. So using the model of the Doraisas, so Rosh HaYachid will deal with it l'chumra, but it's only a suffik. So we're not going to burn the truma. We're just going to say don't touch it. But if it's in Rosh HaRabim, the model tells you that you're mekil, and therefore we say it's tar, because it's a suffik. Right, but Amar Ula Elu Shisha Svekos Beusha Hiskino. So the Gemara says, so what's again? So now we said, okay, there were two stages. There were three stages of the takana. Ella, Asu Inu, yeah, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, who started originally, Gazar Agusha, Litlos, Vavir Loklum. Stage number one, they made it to the Kana, that if Truma goes, is touched by the land of Eretz Amim, that you're tole. You don't burn it, but you can't eat it. They didn't say anything about the Avir, about the airspace. Then came Asu Rabbanan, the Shmon Shana, the Rabbanan, 80 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure what happened 80 years before the Beis HaMikdash, that they would make the Takana. Why specifically 80 years? That's the year, basically, 10 BCE. What happened then?
Right around the time when Herod died.
Well, Herod dies like in 4, right?
Right around.
No.
Well, that sugar, I don't know.
Well, Asu Rabban Shmona Mishana, the Guzer, Edi Litlos. So they came and said, you know what, not only is we going to be Tola if Truma touches the dirt, the land of Eretz Amim, even if it goes into the airspace, we're going to be told that. I mean, you can't eat it, but you still can't burn it. Then came the Asu Usha, the Usha people came, and they said, Agusha Lisrof, Vavira Kidikakai. They added that if the Truma touches the land of Eretz Amim, you burn it. So you had the priest, you have three stages. First stage is Yossi ben Yoezer, Yossi ben Yochanan, who say that Agusha is Litlos, Avira, nothing. Comes the Rabbanim Shmon Shana, who they say that, you know what, we're going to add Avira, that also is Tola. And come the Chachmei Usha, and they add to touching the Gusha, that you have to burn it. Okay.
It seems like
from the rights
of the addition of
Gusha
was even on
Suffolk. Suffolk
it touched.
Like the other Takanos were only by Vavai, no? Yeah. Suffolk, Afar, Havam, Eretz Amim. Look at Rashi says, the kol offer Eretz Amim misafkel on bekever shel meis. It's not a suffik if it touched it. It's a suffik that Eretz Amim contains the tumah. So I think they're addressing that point that you're making. Okay, that is that sugya. Next we start the glass sugya, which is going to take us, I think, through tomorrow as well. Little hakdama. All the kalim, all the utensils that are listed in the Torah, they can be mekabel tumah. And anything that's not listed in the Torah cannot be mekabel tuma at all. Glass is not listed. Technically, it's not mekabel tuma, right? But glass is mekabel tuma midrabanan. We're going to see some reasons coming up that the glass is going to be mekabel tuma midrabanan. Now, all the kalim that become tamei, they can be purified, right? Either by putting them in the mikvah or by breaking them, right? Except for klicheres, the only way you can mitar klicheres is by breaking them. It doesn't have tahara in a mikvah. By pottery. Kli matechos, which is metal utensils, are mekabel tuma, whether they're flat or whether they actually have a receptacle. Most other kalim can only be mekabel tuma if they have a receptacle. They actually have to have a usage. I guess metal has usage either if they don't have a receptacle. All kalim are mekabel tuma. Now, most kalim are mekabel tuma if they were touched on the inside or the outside. The klicheres is only mekabel tuma from the inside, but it's mekabel tuma, meaning if tuma touches the klicheres on the outside, it's not tame. The tuma has to enter the klicheres, the klicheres to be tame. However, it doesn't have to touch. As long as it enters the airspace of the klicheres, then the klicheres is mekabel tuma. Those are certain rules. Okay. So Gemara says, klei zechuchas. The klei zechuchas that the gzeira of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, my timer goes with Rabbanan tuma. So the Gemara asks, why do they make this takana? Okay. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Reish Lakish, Hoel utchilas bir yoson min hachol shavinu rabbanan kiklicheres. Well, glass comes from sand. Klicheres comes from sand. We'll say they're the same thing. They both come from sand, and therefore we're going to make them both tamei. Rashi says, nothing. That, so maybe they were concerned about a confusion. Maybe what Rabbi Lausa brings down, you want to make these takanas, but you have to make something that's sort of in the same, you know, same marketplace. So they want to make the same takana. The idea is that clay zechuchas and clay cheres, both of them are made from sand. So elamiyat, if that's the case now, that you're making the takana for glass utensils, but they're similar to earthenware utensils, well then bring it all the way across. Have all the halachas that we just mentioned apply to glass as well. Elamayata lo tehela hen tahara b'mikvah. Glass utensils, midrabanan, of course, if they become tamei, you shouldn't be able to metara them in a mikvah. You'd have to break them in order for them to become tamei. Why? Because they are similar to klicheres, which requires to be broken in order to become tahor. So the Gemara says, alama tanan, why do we have a Mishnah in mikvahs that says, the elu chotitzin b'kelim hazefes v'hamor b'kli zechuchis. These things are going to be considered a chatzitza on kelim. And you have Zephas and Moor, which is pitch, I think. I don't know what Moor is. Was he translated? Okay. Same thing. So Zephas and Moor, but the point is, Bekleis Chuchas, meaning that these things are, if they're on the glass utensil, they are Chatzitza towards Tvila. What Tvila? You just say the Kleis Chuchas are like Klecheres. If they're like Klecheres, they should be able to go into the mikvah. So you're telling me things that are a Chatzitza before they're going into the mikvah. We shouldn't be allowed to go into the mikvah to begin with. They should be broken. So Gemara says, no, this is talking about a specific case. Ein achanami, you are correct. Kli zechuchis cannot become purified in the mikvah. But what do we have here? Hach v'mayaskinon kigon shenikvu. So there was a hole in the kli zechuchis. the hitif l'tochan avar, and you put in the kli zechuchis, you put in this sort of lead to close up the hole. Okay, and therefore what? Now by via the lead, it's now roy to be used again. So now these things, Zephyr Zamora, are on the Kli Zechuchas, and you're being tovel it. So why are you toveling it? And it's Rav Meir. It's going to the sheet of Rav Meir. The Amar, HaKol Holech Achar HaMamid. When you're talking about a Kli, how you define the Kli goes in accordance with what basically keeps the Kli usable. Right? Achar HaMamid. I don't know how you translate it. But over here, you have a major hole in the glass Kli. You stuffed it with metal. So we're viewing it now as a metal Kli. So if it's a metal Kli, it can go into the mikveh. It loses its status of glass, because if you're only looking at the glass, it's not a usable utensil.
If it had a hole in it,
mm-hmm.
that's not considered a broken
Kli? No, it must have been a hole that's not big enough to render it unfit for usage. Right?
If it's not rendered unfit for usage, it would be strange that plugging that hole would render it fit for usage.
Well, I guess maybe, or you can say, Rashi says, you go in Shinakbu, but Taharum Mitoros Klicharis. And basically what you're saying is correct, that it's not a Klicharis anymore. It's broken, right? Taharum Mitoros, the Klicharis Shvirosu Mitaharosu. But never that we did, the Hitif Latoko Avar. And then you put the lead in there, the Choshev Lik Kli Matkos. And now it gets the status of a Kli Matachas. So I guess you're right. Had you just had the hole by itself, then maybe if the hole was big enough, it's good. What are you doing bringing it to the mikveh now? Bring it to mikveh because now it's considered a lead utensil, right? Divir Meir Damer Hakol Holich Achar Hamamid. The sign you the following brisa: Kli Zechuchus Shenikvul, a Kli Zechuchus that was nekev. So now it says it's tahor, right? It's cut, right? The Hetiv L'Tochan Avar, and you put in it this lead. Amar Rav Shimon Megamliel, Rav Meir Metame. Rav Meir says that it could be makabel tuma, I guess midor brisa, because we go after the mamid, which is mateches. So therefore, now here this is considered a kli mateches. The Chachamim Metarim, the Chachamim say no, that this is Tahor, this Kli is not considered a Kli Mida Araisa, because in Amakabatum in the Torah, because, I guess maybe look at the majority of the Kli is a glass utensil, okay, it may have some lead in there, but whether you go according to the Mamid or go according to the ingredients, I guess, would be the Machlokas.
Right?
I think so.
Are they able to sing the Karas? Are you going to the Mamid?
I guess so. Let's say a cheres breaks, it's a tummy cheres, so it gets a big hole in it, so now it's tahor, and you stuff it with lead, maybe we'll say now it regains the status of a lead utensil, and therefore it's going to be kabbal tuma, and you view it as a lead utensil. I guess the test case would be, well, what happens now if something tummy goes into the avir of the inside? See what that is. Fine. We'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. Basically, what the Gemara is going to keep going is saying all these cases. Now, if you're comparing the glass to the klicheres, then you have to bring it all the way across, and they come all these other halakhas that we mentioned. How come they apply to klicheres but don't apply to klizachukas? Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good day.
No question about using lead.